Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench. So obviously anything can happen here, Mafia, in terms of the games, because I have the Kings. They're up 10 with 6.5 minutes to go on the Pelicans, and I have the Kings +1, and I got them to win outright. And then I have the Bucks, and I laid 8 against the Wizards. They're up 99-84 at the beginning of the fourth, like 30 seconds into the quarter. So here's the deal. If I hit those bets, if it's a big if, because there's still plenty of time left in both of those games. But if I hit both of them, I'm going to go 12-2 in NBA bets today, tonight, whatever.
Wowza.
Whatever you want to call it. So I need those to cash. Obviously, I need those to come in. Right now, I told you what the scores were, so let's see if they can finish the deal. I mean, both teams have it by the onions, right? They both have it, and now they just need to finish the deal. You know, these guys that they put in to get some burn, finish the deal. You know, this is your audition. So go out and light it up and don't play like a B. So, Mavi, what were you saying about the 8-9?
Well, the way I was looking up the rules for that playing game, because obviously we're going to have to deal with that coming up now with all these teams getting so close for that 8 seed in the West. And it is that it's only the 8 and 9 that are going to be involved. It doesn't matter, you know, how close any other teams are. And I don't know exact rules. I have to look that up for percentage points, like how they're going to determine, you know, how they break ties with some of these teams. Because right now, Portland and San Antonio have the same winning percentage. Oh, and I'm sorry, Memphis and Phoenix have the same winning percentage. San Antonio is like 0.001% behind them. Portland's in the lead right now by half a game over all those teams. They hold their destiny. They win. They're in the playing game. The other ones are just chasing them. So however it breaks up, 8 and 9 will play because they'll be within 4 games no matter how it works out. Other than that, the other two teams, see you later. Thanks for coming. Doesn't matter how close they are.
There you go. So pack your bags and go home. You know what I mean? Just grab your stuff, get all your toiletries and everything and your clothes and stuff them in your bags and go home because you're done here. You don't have to live in a bubble anymore. So that's almost like a Willy Wonka golden ticket right there.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
So Mavia knows I've been on fire lately in the NBA. Monday I hit all five games on the money line, right? And then today I'm sitting here 8-2 right now. I'll take that six ways till Sunday. And I got action going right now as we speak with the Pelicans, though, creeping on the Kings, creeping hard, six back with 340 and change. So I'm stressing out there. By the way, the guy with the rubber glove was surprisingly gentle. The game's on Thursday. Oh, and real quick, the Blackhawks are giving the Vegas Golden Knights a game. It's looking like, I think, the end of the first period and scoreless, I'm pretty sure. So they must be doing something right, Crawford and company, because they went to the break scoreless after one. Vegas, most people have them sweeping the Blackhawks and blowing them out, and they're doing none of the sort as we speak. You know, Kane and Taves aren't having any of that. And Crawford, for that matter, too. But on Thursday, Mafia is talking about all these big games which are happening that they're playing for their lives. The last day of the, you know, whatever you want to call it, pre-playoff games. The setup for the playoffs. This is the battle for the, you know, eight spots and the last playoff spots. So the teams that matter are going to be the Blazers. They own the eight. The Blazers are playing the Nets. Now, the deal is the Nets have played everyone tough. The Nets have given everyone fits. They won today against the Magic. All they do, remember they beat the Bucks? They were 19-point dogs and they beat the Bucks. The Nets, Jacques Vaughn's Nets mean business. It doesn't matter who they put on the floor. They go all out and they try to win every game. So I guarantee you they're going to try to give the Blazers a game. And they have beaten everyone. It doesn't matter who you put in front of them. They beat them. The Nets give everyone problems. The Spurs play the Jazz. That's going to be huge. The Jazz have absolutely nothing to play for. They're in. The Spurs have to win. The Suns have to win. They're playing the Mavs. We just saw the Mavs give the Blazers a nightmare game tonight. Now they're playing the Suns and Booker. Do you think the Mavs want to let Booker drop 35 on them? I guarantee you, Luka Doncic isn't having any of that. The Bucks take on the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies have to win. They lost the eight already. You knew that was inevitable. I said on Coast to Coast and Pharrell on a bench, if simple, Jared Jackson's injury killed him. You lose that many buckets on your, you know, roster, you're doomed. I mean,
the thing with that too is you had John Morant crying about it, saying that like, oh, it's not fair the way they set this up. They're trying to help these other teams. It'd be one thing if it was like, you know, they were still up by three games and these teams are getting to play in. Now they've gotten past. Now Portland's ahead of them. They're eating their dust. They're looking up at them. So forget about, oh, it's not fair. They just beat you. You didn't win enough games.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty simple.
Now they're lucky they're even getting to play in.
I mean, they blew it, and you knew they would without Jackson. That's what I thought would happen all along. On also, Kings, Lakers, Kings are out. This is their. They got one more game after this, but you know they're playing right now, up 6, 2:21 left on the Pels, and they finish with the Lakers. The Lakers will kill them, even if they don't try, they'll kill them. Wizards, Celtics, the Wizards have been like having the flu. Watching them play in Orlando. And that's just all there is to it. So, but tonight's, you know, incredible. The Bucks are 113-97. There's 6:47 left in that one. I mean, they should get it done. I mean, they're sitting there right now in a position to get it done and cover the eight. And the Pelicans still down. Now it's 7. And actually, you know, the Kings just turned the ball over. So 2:17 left. And it's all about the bet now to me. But there is still time. You can still win this game if you're the Pelicans. If the, you know, Kings go down and miss some shots, they can go down and hit some threes and get back into this game. It's not the worst thing in the world being down 7 with 2 minutes left. You pop a couple. Let's see the first one right here. Hart misses. He had an open three in the corner. So He blew one chance. They're not going to have that many more chances to hit three, so they better hit him. They got about one more miss in them, and that's it. I think they, in fact, I don't even think they have a miss left in them. Look at Giles getting involved, but he misses the easy bucket, but they get the follow and stick it in. You know who plays on that team? Barnes, obviously, is a big scorer for him, but the guy that I was watching tonight is on that team. He's just giant now in terms of weight, body weight. He just doesn't look like he used to, is Jabari Parker. And then the other guy that I've noticed tonight, who's enormously fat as well and looking way bigger than when he was in college, is Jahlil Okafor. Now, he had a big game. He was literally, I think at one point, he was 9 of 9 from the floor. So he was filling it up and having a big night for the Pels. But he never plays. So they were jumping up and down and cheering him on the bench tonight because he was having such a big game. I can tell you what he did in terms of... real quick, I just want to see what he did because he has had a game for, you know, a guy that never plays. He's got 20 points, 9 of 11 from the floor, 4 boards and a dime. That's not bad, right? He leads the Pels in scoring. And then on the other side, Barnes has 25, Parker 12, Giles 12. Giles gives him the double-double. He's got 12 and 10 boards. Not bad. 9-point King lead, 1:08 and counting. Now it's a 7-point lead. 110-103, they get the layup. 1:09 left. Can the Kings handle their business? Is the question. It really boils down to that. The Bucks, 113-97 over the Wizards. Mafia, tell me what happened with Giannis. You said he headbutted Mo Wagner tonight and got thrown out?
Yeah. In the second quarter of that game, about like 4 minutes into the second quarter, I'm not sure what happened previously because obviously we can't watch someone on national TV and it's not in our market, it being in the New York area. But they have put out the clip there where he pretty much walks up to him and just bashes his head into him, gets tossed from the game. I don't know what was going on, what led up to that. I mean, to me, it seems like a meaningless game. They don't need to win. They don't care about it. I don't know why he's so worked up that he'd do that if, you know, maybe in my head, he did that, say, you know what? I don't feel like playing the last game. Let me just knock this guy up around a little bit. They'll suspend me and I get to sit out without them having, you know, being all up in arms that I'm sitting out when I'm not injured.
How do you feel, Mavi, about the art of the headbutt in a civilized society today and in pickup basketball, pickup hockey, in pro sports, in NBA, NHL games, the proverbial headbutt? The other day, Ekblad, remember in the game against the Islanders, he dropped a headbutt in the game. He like gave a fake headbutt to one of the Islanders, the guy on the Panthers when they were getting swept, or they didn't get swept. They lost in 4, right? So, but he fake headbutted a guy. How do you feel about the proverbial headbutt?
Listen, it's definitely a lost art. I don't know if that's because of people worried about concussions and CTE or if, you know, people are just trying to be more civil, but there's definitely a lot less headbutting right now. And, you know, usually when people do bring it out, they just aren't trained well enough and they're not using the right part of their head and they're getting themselves hurt. They're breaking their nose because they miss. It's just something that needs to be taught more throughout society.
It's a haymaker, 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 haymaker. Well done with a headbutt. Eye gouge. Haymaker, 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 headbutt, eye gouge. Knock him in the tee, kick him in the head, out with your friend, headbutt. Knock him in the head, kick him in the rib, elbow to the groin, kick him in the shin, knock him in the tee, pull him in the eye, headbutt. I love the headbutt. It's always a great thing in a movie when a guy just like has had enough and he's at like the bar and there's someone pestering him and someone getting in his space when he's trying to have a shot and a beer, but an iron shot and a beer, but an iron shot and a beer. And then the guy just looks over at the guy in the bar and he just gives him a look and then he headbutts him right in the face.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. and too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, for all on the bench, I was just gambling heavily on tomorrow's games for you. You can get all my action at FerrellOnTheBench.com. It's FERRALL. If you haven't seen us on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid, check it out. That's on every day at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on Sports Grid. And then, of course, I do this radio show, Ferrell on the Bench, every night, Monday through Friday. Get excited. Everybody's talking about it. So tomorrow, Heat Thunder, Oak City laying 4, Pacers getting 8.5 from the Rockets, Raptors laying 5 to the Sixers, and the Clippers are laying 5.5 to the Nuggets. That's tomorrow. And then that hockey game right now, Blackhawks, Golden Knights, scoreless after 1. Lightning in 5 overtimes on a Braden Point goal beat the Blue Jackets 3-2, 5 overtimes, 4th longest game ever. And then the Flames beat the Stars 3-2. I was on Coast to Coast today, and I said the one Western series where I feel there'll be an upset probability, any chance of it, it would be, as you know, Mafia, I said the Flames over the Stars. But I don't. That doesn't mean I think they're going to win the series. I just think they definitely have a chance to. And I think that they're going to give Dallas problems. But I think Dallas can still win that series. I don't think it's over because they lost game 1. But I think they have their hands full for sure. So some people in the Church of Pharrell, the chat on YouTube, they're in there clamoring about Mafia's team getting Lafreniere, the top pick. Oh, by the way, Kings 112-106 over the Pelicans, double cover. I'm now 10-2 in NBA bets on Tuesday. 10-2. And let's see where I'm at, just, you know, for the sake of lovers everywhere. 3 minutes left. The Bucks 121-105 over the Wizards. I'm laying 8 there, trying to get to 12-2 for the day, betting in the NBA. And like last night, 5-0 on money lines in the NBA. I mean, I am just on fire. So Mafia's Rangers got Lafreniere, and I know he's excited about it now. There's a lot of people asking in the church, hey, Mafia, they're like, are you going to trade the number 1 pick? And I almost spit out my chiclets because I was unaware that they would really be that stupid. I don't care what they could get for him. If they get this kid, he could be, you know, literally, he has the potential to be as good as any player in the NHL. He's going to be the number 1 pick. He's a stud. The guy's got mad skills. If you haven't seen him play hockey, then you don't know anything. So stay out of it. If you don't have experience watching him play, then stop with the conspiracies and that they're going to trade him and that he's not going to do this and that. He's not good enough, but whatever. Stop. Just stop yourself. If you've never seen him play, shut up. So here's the deal. The guy has mad skill. And they'll sign him, and they're going to keep him, and he's going to play for at least 10 years for the Rangers before they'd ever even consider trading him. Mafia, how do you feel about that?
I agree with that 100%. I mean, I know people are going to be bitter about them getting it. They just got the number 2 last year with Kako Kapo, and I know that, you know, people are going to say there's – you know, something going on. They're trying to make them good again. And, you know, if I wasn't a Ranger fan, maybe I'd feel the same way. But I mean, listen, it just comes down to, once again, you know, Toronto had a great chance and they couldn't get it done when it mattered most in the clinch. Because, you know, if you saw the video, the Maple Leafs ping pong ball like jumps up and it like is going to get sucked up into that tube and then hits the two posts and then falls back down. And then the Rangers sneak in there and end up with that first pick. And the whole thing about, oh, the guy dropped the ball early, like, that's meaningless. Like, it wasn't even dropped into the cylinder at that point. It was just in the lineup. He took it back out, showed the logo, put it in. It's just people looking for reasons to complain. I mean, the ones who should be really ticked off are Montreal. I mean, how many years have they been waiting for a great, you know, Quebecois player to be part of that franchise and lead them? And then they go win that series against the Penguins. So they're not even involved in it. He's going to be awesome. I hope he is. They say he's going to be awesome. I mean, this could be a situation for the Rangers that, you know, your Penguins had forever. I don't know if they're going to be as good as them, but this could be like a Crosby Malkin thing where you have two cornerstones with him and Kako that could be good for you for 10 years and just build a franchise around them.
I mean, that's exactly what's going to happen. And first of all, I never once thought anything of the sort about the lottery balls and the whole draft lottery itself. I could care less about any of that nonsense and ping pong balls and frozen ping pong balls and all this other BS. All I know is that why not? I mean, the Devils got Heeshire and Jack Hughes, two number ones in a row. So what?
Right, 4 years that the Edmonton Oilers had the number one pick and have done nothing with it.
Well, what about, you know, the Rangers got Kako and now they got this guy. So what? I think it's maybe it's about their turn. They haven't done it since 94. And so they finally got the number one draft pick and they got the number two last year. And look, I think Kako's a great player. He's got all kinds of skill. He shoots like a rocket. The guy, he's all about scoring goals. He doesn't care about anything else. And all I know is if you put Lafreniere with him and they've already got Panarin, Breadfan, are you kidding? They have the potential. Right. With Zibanejad and with Kreider. Kreider's a 25 goal guy. They have at Buchnevich. They are loaded. They are loaded. Now they need to put it all together and they need to, you know, play well and they need to be coached well and they need to be, you know, trained right and they need to practice right and they need to win on the road. They need to win big hockey games because they, you know, it's like they got into this tournament and they got swept out faster than you could spit. That's what's wrong with the Rangers. They have all this talent and they don't know how to use it.
Right, because they're in the rebuild, so a lot of these guys are young. There's plenty of guys that didn't have playoff experience in there. I mean, Truba's still a young guy, too. Philip Cheadle's, you know, really young. They have a lot of young guys. They had, of course, some of these veterans like, you know, Panarin, Zibanejad. But there's a lot of guys that didn't even know what they were doing in the playoffs there. So now, next year, you know, you put it all together. You get full camp. You know, hopefully get a full season, depending on when they start with things, you know, how COVID ends up with things. And you hope that you can put it all together under Quinn. But they're definitely building for the future, and hopefully it's a bright one there on Broadway. And you know what? There's plenty of teams that, of course, wanted him, but there's plenty of teams that would have wasted him, too. I mean, if the Minnesota Wild got him, would people have heard from him again? Probably not. You know, you have some of the best players in Edmonton, and McDavid and Draisaitl. And here in the U.S., we barely hear about him unless they're playing your team because they're just out there and wasted because that team never does anything. You know, it was perfect that Crosby and Malkin and Ovechkin were in, you know, big markets in the U.S. Not an anti-Toronto or anti, you know, Canada thing. It's just that, you know what, we got to see them a lot more. They got pushed up a lot more because their teams did stuff. Like, you know, you put one of these players in Calgary, Winnipeg, most of the other teams are forgetting about them.
Well, that's, you know, same thing I said on Coast to Coast is that it's a great benefit, I believe, for the league and for us as hockey fans, you, Carver High, myself, people in New York, New Jersey, frankly, Connecticut, whatever, and the entire East Coast, Philly, D.C., Pittsburgh, Buffalo, all of those markets, right, for hockey, they will now get to see Lafreniere up close and personal all season long, including Florida, Tampa, all those teams, they're all going to taste it, right? And we're going to see him play in New York all the time. Imagine how many games we get to see him play the Devils, the Islanders, and then against my Penguins. And it's their turn to see if they could handle all this drafting success and turn it into something big, like another Stanley Cup. You know, it's weird. I think it would be a whole new era in Ranger hockey for sure if they could win a Stanley Cup with these kids and with Panarin, because I don't know if anything will ever top 94. I mean, when the Penguins won it in 91, 92, 09, 16 and 17, they all just bleed together. When you win that many, you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. They win back to back twice. But the first one was the one that, you know, broke the ice. The first one was against the North Stars was so huge that the Penguins finally won the Stanley Cup for the first time ever. When they came into the league, they were atrocity in 67 on. They were just terrible. They were one of the worst teams in the league forever. And they did not have some kind of fancy expansion draft. I can tell you, they were hacks. And they went out and they won a Stanley Cup. And then they backed it up the next year and won it again against Chicago. Then they beat Detroit in game 7 on the road in 09 after losing to Detroit in 08. Christ, the Penguins could have 6 Stanley Cups. They were in the finals. They beat San Jose in 16, Nashville in 17, but it's that first one that matters. The Rangers in 94, after waiting 54 years, that was the biggest cup they'll ever win, in my opinion. They could win with Lafreniere and Kako and Panarin and the new goalies and all the rest that they got. It won't be bigger than when Messier did it. Nothing. That team, that was crazy. When he guaranteed the win in games, whatever it was, 6-7, and they, you know, game 6, and then they in the Eastern Conference Finals, and then to win it all and to go hoist the Stanley Cup. I don't think they'll top that, even if they do it, even if they win it. I think they'll be like drinking and partying and Canyon of Heroes, the whole deal. They'll be forever etched, but they won't be etched in stone like that team was in 94. Mafia even knows it's true. If your team wins it, you're happy. But you never forget certain ones. That one in 94 will never be topped. I don't care what anybody says. So the Blackhawks are tied with the Vegas Knights right now, scoreless zeros, 15 minutes left in the second. So a long way to go in this one, obviously. But I think what I'm sensing is, you know, just watching it initially here is that, you know, Kane, Taves, Crawford, they have some guys, Duncan Keith, they have some guys that have been there and done that and have won Stanley Cups, right? So they know how to do it. And they have, you know, shown up for this game, and they showed up for their series with Edmonton, and they just played whatever style you wanted to play. You want to get physical? We'll get physical. You want to skate? We'll stop you from skating. You want to slow it down? You want to play forecheck hockey, dig in the corners? We'll get dirty and dig in the corners. We'll do whatever you want. You want to fight over by the bench? Taves is getting into it right now. We got a brawl breaking out. Vegas and Chicago throwing hands. A lot of tugging of jerseys right now, trying to keep everybody out of it. Taves was in the middle of it. So it's, I think, you know, just a team saying, we're here. Where's the beer? Let's go. We'll play all day. And then, you know, it's funny. I get how the Vegas guys are like giving Jonathan Taves the business over by the bench, but Taves got into the fight with Marchessault. At least that's, yeah, it was Marchessault who the fight, and there were some hands thrown. But the deal is this, like all the Vegas players are over there, like looking at Taves like he's some kind of bank robber. Jonathan Taves has a bunch of Stanley Cups. So all those guys on that Vegas team, they better check themselves when they're, you know, giving that guy the business. Because when you got all them rings and all that Stanley Cup and your name engraved on the Stanley Cup, you don't take any flack over at the bench from a bunch of hacks that have never won it. I don't care who you are. If you haven't won it, you're nothing. And if you have won a bunch of them, you got all rights reserved. That's what that's about right there. Yeah, Mafia knows they're not going to trade Lafreniere. They're going to draft him as sure as I'm sitting here, and they're going to play him with Kako for 10, 12 years. That's it. It's going to be Sid Crosby all over again for the New York Rangers. I mean, you get a player that good, you keep him, and you turn him into something. I still think Heeshire and Hughes are going to turn into something for the Devils. They got him when they were just kids, 18 years old. So they're going to, you know, I think blossom into something special when they're, you know, 3-4 years into the league. Look at like Drew Doughty, right? Drew Doughty, when he came in, was like this, you know, long haired, little kid with a big smile, and he's, you know, big hockey dreams and everything else. And then, you know, a couple of Stanley Cups and, all your teeth are gone and you got scars all over your face and half your hair is gone. And you've been doing the grind in the NHL. He turned into something special, didn't he? I remember when he came into the league, he was like a candy ass, right? He was just a kid. Well, what do you think Heeshire and Hughes are? They're kids. They're kids. They can't even have a beer. I mean, legally, right? So give them time, you know, let's see if the kids turn into something special. I bet they will. And we already saw the guy, what's the guy, Mafia, I can't think of his name, up in, just off the top of my, Eichel up in Buffalo. He's turning into a great player, right? He's turning into a man now. He came into the league as a kid. And they threw him into the fire, and now he's a badass, but he's miserable. He hates playing.
Another one of these guys is a great player, but getting wasted on one of these teams that just doesn't matter.
Well, that's, you know, his worst nightmare. It's not his fault. It's his worst nightmare. But he signed the deal, right?
No, right. That's the burden of being a top pick, is you're usually going to a team that was pretty bad. I mean, at least, you know, Lafreniere actually lucked out in that, in the way that this thing worked out with the way they did the draft lottery, because even though the Rangers are in a rebuild, you know, they're not that bad. They're not one of these teams that just is absolutely bottom of the barrel, worst in the league, you know, good luck for the next 5 years until they actually work something up. Like, they're on the way up on the rebuild.
Yeah. I don't even, to be honest with you, I'm done with rebuild. I think that's done in New York. There's no rebuild going on. I think the media sells you that. I think the team sells you that. It's an easy way to get out of losing. It's an easy way to say, you know, we're not expected to do anything. We're going to rebuild. That's such nonsense. They have all kinds of talent on that team. When you have a guy with 95 points on your hockey team and they never finish the season, don't tell me you're in a rebuild. They got star players. Zibanejad, all these guys can play. Kreider's 25 a year. They got guys that can play. I already rattled up Buchnevich, all of them. They have guys that can play. Now they have Kako, who's better than most of the guys on that team. He's been there 1 year, and the guy's just snapping shots off at every stride of his shift. The guy gets down into the zone, and when he gets the puck, he just fires it on net. I love it. So any guy that shoots that much is going to score. And Vegas just did score, speaking of scoring. So here they are on the board, finally. You get the goal. The first one, Vegas. And, I mean, that's a huge goal. I think it's, I could be wrong. I think it's Theodore, but I could be wrong. I don't even know. It's hard for me to tell because... Yeah, I'm right. Theodore had the goal. So there you go. Snapper over to glove, short side. He went short side glove with a ripper, like a little wrister ripper from the circle. He got him, snug it in glove side on his lover. And just gave him a little business right there. So, you know, Vegas is the better team, that's for sure. But so far, 12 and a half left of the second period. I would say Chicago showed up for this game and Chicago gave him a game so far. Now, if it turns into 4 or 5 nothing, then I'll change my tune. But what I've seen so far has been some level of physicality. And the Blackhawks with a chance in front, but Leonard starts it out of humanity. I just think that, I still believe Vegas and Tampa are the two best teams in the league, in my opinion. But I will say, based on what I've seen tonight, well, obviously I got a nice taste with Tampa five overtimes. During the regular game itself, the three periods, I thought that they looked way better than Columbus. I mean, they shot. The guy made 85 saves in the game, Carpasalo. 85 shots on goal. Tampa is all over the ice. Now, look, Mavi, how much do you think that game sucked the life out of both of those teams going into game two? Because don't tell me you play five periods of hockey in 6.5 hours. That doesn't have a toll on your body. Like the guy, one of them, Point had the winner, and he said that they were chugging liquids in the intermissions and eating like bananas and stuff. They were doing everything. They were eating like, Nature Valley bars. They do that whole healthy nonsense stuff. Because I remember I'd be like in the Thrasher locker room. They'd be like, what are you doing in here, bro? I'm like, I'm just stealing some Nature granola bars, coach. Don't mind me. That's what I'd say to Kurt Frazier. I go, don't worry about me, Fraz. I'm not interviewing players. I'm just here to grab an orange. They had like the worst stuff, apples, oranges, pears. Granola bars, bananas. They had all that stuff that like is healthy for you. When I want bags of Doritos, son. No, I got to get me some Doritos and Tostito restaurant style in there. Mommy, you know, you got to get a little munchy. I need some salt, son. Bag of Orville. As you know, I've had a bag of Orville every day for the last 20 years. That's 365 days a year times 20. We won't do math class today, though. Later, we're going to talk about breaking down your buds into flour. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I'm glad I watched a five overtime hockey game. I really am, because that was phenomenal. It was just so gripping. And watching that Carpasalo, I got to tell you, I haven't seen a guy goaltend. Like, and another one they've poked in to make it 2-0. Now, all of a sudden, things are starting to open up a little bit. The valve has been released, and the Knights are up 2 now. Unbelievable. They get a jammer on the doorstep. I got to see this one from the right circle. Then in front, Reeves shot it. It was loose, and then you stuff it in. I still can't tell who had that goal. I can't tell. I don't know him as well as I think I do, even though I went to see him play. I went to see him play with Carver High. We went to see him play Tampa. And it really was a fascinating game, because I watched it and I was like, these are the two best teams in the NHL. Even then, when we went to see him, we were at a fight in Vegas and we went to see him play. And they looked, both of those teams looked phenomenal. But I have to say, based on what I saw today, now there's a coach's challenge by Chicago on this shot. They're going to win the challenge too. Reeves was offside. So that'll be that. There'll be no goal, 1-0. So the video catches. Reeves is clearly offside. What are you saying to me, Mafia?
It was William Carrier with the goal. You know, if they gave him the credit, like you said, the offside is going to happen now.
Oh, he's so that's definitely offside.
Although, who knows? It might have even been knocked down by the defender. I had to see another replay of that, but it's not going to count either way.
Yeah, this is about an offside call, nothing in front of the doorstep. So they're going to nail Reeves. That's why they're talking about it right now. But I think what I'm trying to say is that I, from what I've seen, and I just, you know, I don't know if they'll get it done, because they seem to have bad luck. I think Tampa has bad luck. I really do. I think they have bad luck. Like, they could have won that game like 40 times today, right? At least 40 times they could have won that game. And they just couldn't score on Carpasalo. So if Carpasalo has that kind of confidence going into the rest of this series, game 2, moving forward, It's going to be really hard for Tampa to win four games from them. I honestly believe that because it took them 6.5 hours to beat them today. So that's a problem. And I know that Tampa's all excited and everything. And I do believe that they are the best skating team and the fastest team in the league, the way they move the puck and the way they skate on both ends of the ice. They're just so dangerous. And I think a lot of their success comes from that talent and speed. So I would say they left that goal up. They gave him the goal. You have got to be kidding me. There is no way that that was a goal. You can't tell me you didn't think Reeves was offside, Mafia?
He was offside, yes. I agree with you.
Oh, my God. That was a terrible call. Like, what, are they drunk? Honestly, are you drunk? I just saw a video. The whole world saw the video. He was offside. Now they're on a power play, going to try to make it 3-0. We're raging on a bench. Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA games, out the yin. All right, so Dame joins Wilt Chamberlain, the only two players ever to score 60 points 3 times in one season. And some moron wants to argue with me about Paul George is better. Listen, I'm down with Paul George has game. There's no denying Paul George can play. But he don't play like Dame Lillard. And, you know, I've ripped Dame Lillard in the past for some of his comments and his attitudes and his opinions. And I don't care about his music or anything else. He can rap all he wants. I'm all for it. Go for it, dude. Like, get it on. I'm cool with that. But I don't care about. Remember that I ripped him when he said he didn't want to go to Orlando. He just said, if I don't have anything to play for, why go? I don't want any part of it. Which I was like, just play, dude. Stop crying and just go play. You make a ton of money. Go play. So that's the time I ripped him, if you remember. But when I watch him play, it's just without a doubt. Like, I'm sorry. I think they're both really good players, but this guy does phenomenal things. 50-point games all the time, 60-point game tonight. He shoots these amazing shots, clutch shots, cold ice water in his vein shots, daggers, game winners, clinching series winner shots, walk-off shots. This guy is better than Paul George, hands down. I mean, he's proved it with his play and his results and these outrageous games he keeps having. George has like 35, 40-point game, but you never see him dropping 60 in a game. I mean, you don't. That's all there is to it. I was killing it. 12-2 in the NBA. Go to PharrellOnABench.com for everything. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific. And watch YouTube at night, Pharrell on a Bench at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific. Good night.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.